This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
Although hot summer months in India are quite expected, heat waves here have gotten more intense, frequent and long. This year, the first one started in March and went on for 6 weeks. It damaged crops besides putting millions of lives at risk, all thanks to global warming. The worst hit is central and northwest India, with temperatures crossing 40 to 45 degrees Celsius. More heat waves will follow with worsening power shortages. It was only in 2015 that heat waves were notified as a natural disaster at the national level in India, but people have been losing their lives due to high temperatures from even earlier. A 2021 study in the Lancet Journal found that 83,700 people die in India every year due to high temperatures. Tracking heat-related deaths, however, on an official level has so far been difficult. Hi, this is Surya Tapa Mukherjee, your host for this episode of the Suno India Show. I spoke to Dr. Dilip Mavalankar. He is the director at the Indian Institute of Public Health Gandhinagar, which is a part of the Public Health Foundation. He was instrumental in creating India's first heat action plan for Ahmedabad before it was followed on a national level. We discussed the policies for heat waves, what people can do to protect themselves, and some long-term solutions.
I am Dr. Dilip Mavalankar. I am director at the Indian Institute of Public Health in Gandhinagar, and which is part of Public Health Foundation. We have been working at the Indian Institute of Public Health in Gandhinagar on heat-related health issues since 2012. The reason being, Ahmedabad had a major heat wave in 2010, and following that, we looked at the mortality related to heat and realized that a lot of people had died in 1 week following the heat wave, which is additional mortality in that week. And based on that, we helped develop the Ahmedabad Heat Action Plan along with the Ahmedabad Municipal Corporation and taking guidance from NRDC USA. So this was the reason we have been working on heat since 2011-12.
To start with, can you define what is a heat wave and how is this defined, that what qualifies as a heat wave?
So heat wave is a specific period in any country or any place where the temperature goes much beyond the normal range for that time and that season. And that is what is called as heat wave. Now, each weather agency has a different definition of heat wave. Indian Meteorology Department defines heat waves in various ways for various places. So, there are three criteria. First of all, the temperature has to be above 40 degrees. And then, the maximum temperature has to be 4.5 to 5.5 degrees above the expected or normal temperature for that day. And if such increase happens for two consecutive days, then it is defined as heat wave. So more than 40 degrees, then 4.5 to 5.5 degrees above the normal temperature, maximum temperature, and for 2 days. That is defined as heat wave by IMD, India Meteorology Department. And this is for general plains of India. There is a different definition for mountainous or colder areas of North India. And there is somewhat different definition for coastal areas because the temperature doesn't rise so much there. So that is how heat waves are defined. But for our study and our purposes, what we did was we graphed the maximum temperature in summer for almost 15 years and looked at what are the daily deaths happening in the city of Ahmedabad at different temperature points, and looking at the relationship between the daily death and temperature, we developed three thresholds. So first is above 41 degrees in summer, then we call it yellow alert. Below 41 degrees maximum temperature, we don't call it any alert. Then above 43 degrees, we call it orange alert, because mortality further rises after 43 degrees. And above 45 degrees, we call it red alert, because mortality becomes quite high when the maximum temperature goes above 45 degrees. So that is how we have not used the word heat wave, but we have used the cutoffs and use a traffic light type of system, saying yellow, orange and red alert levels. And based on that, the heat action plan starts getting activated depending upon what alert is provided by IMD in Ahmedabad city. So that is the system we have adopted.
Is this usually like uniform on an official level? So say, does your state have the same categories for defining a heat wave? Does that also match like how the nation thinks that there is a heat wave?
So what has happened is, because of our work which started in 2012 onwards, and we also showed that heat waves are leading to lot of morbidity and mortality, IMD started predicting heat waves and temperatures, maximum temperatures and heat waves, from 2016 onwards. So after 2016, there is a national heat prediction system which starts in March and then goes on till July. And that is uniform. So they provide a temperature forecast for next 5 days for about 1,000 cities in India. And also general area-wise heat forecast in the states. And that is uniform. And they have, as I said, standard definitions of heat wave. Based on that, some of the local authorities are using this yellow, red alert systems. And there the cutoff may be variable, because as I said, in coastal area, the temperature doesn't rise so much, but there is humidity. So the red alert may happen at a lower level. Now, the alert levels have to be decided by the local health people or local administration based on the what is the effect on health. Unfortunately, there are not many places where health impacts are measured or mortality impacts are measured and correlated with the heat. And that is where local thresholds sometimes are also developed based on percentile value of temperature. For example, 99 percentile is generally taken as red. 95 percentile is taken as orange alert, and 90 percentile or above is taken as yellow alert. So some such alerting systems are also used based on percentile, where health information is not available easily and not used to correlate with the temperature.
So how has the pattern of heat waves in India changed over the years?
So as you know, because of global climate changes or climate change happening, there is global warming also happening. So average temperatures are going up and more heat waves are coming, as well as the frequency of heat waves also increasing and temperatures are increasing. So if you see last 22 years, the hottest almost 16, 17 years have been in the last 22 years. So what it shows is that after year 2000, there has been increasing heat waves and increasing maximum temperatures. You may have seen the news in March, around 22nd of March, there was news this year saying at the North and South Pole, the temperature had gone up by 30 to 40 degrees as compared to what it should be. So there is a major shift in temperature in the poles. And similarly, in our country also, we are seeing hotter and hotter summers and more heat waves. And this year it is predicted by IMD that this year will be even more hot than the normal years in the past. So we are likely to get more heat. If you looked at the March temperatures, already it crossed, I think, 35 or 38 degrees, and which was hottest March month in 122 years. And similarly, April has been also quite hot and one of the hottest April months this year. So we have to wait and watch what happens in May. And first week of May already had a early heat wave. So we are likely to see more and more heat waves in this year.
Okay, and how does the heat actually affect our health? And I mean, you said that there are no proper ways to track how much it affects our health right now. But can you still talk about how it is being tracked in whatever form it is?
The way heat affects body is that body becomes hot and it leads to more and more perspiration. So that is the natural mechanism of the body to cool the body. So once the body becomes hot, it has to cool itself through perspiration. And that is how it overloads the heart and circulatory system. Plus, because of perspiration, you lose a lot of water, so you can become dehydrated. Person can become dehydrated. So there are several levels of heat-related illness, starting with a heat rash, which is a very minor problem on the skin. Scratchy red rash appears. Second level is called heat cramps, where leg muscles, hand muscles can become painful and contracted. It is called heat cramps. Then comes heat syncope, which is person may become unconscious because of heat, temporarily short unconsciousness, become giddy and fall down. Third level is heat exhaustion, which is person becomes very tired, profusely sweating, very hot body, but sweaty body, and can become later on. The next level is called heat stroke, where person's body becomes hot and sweat stops coming, and person may get a very high fever-like condition, maybe 100, 104, 3, 4 degrees temperature. The skin becomes very dry and hot, and person may become unconscious or semi-conscious and may develop abdominal cramps, vomiting, nausea, etc. And this last condition, if not treated very early, can lead to also death in about 20 to 30% of the people. So this is how heat affects the human body. Now, what is not understood well is heat can also affect elderly people. So one is heat affects young people who are working in hot sunlight, and that is where we call it as direct heat stroke, that somebody is working in hot sunlight and suddenly develops unconsciousness or has giddiness, falls down, starts having convulsions. And if you measure the temperature, it is very high and the skin is very dry. That is called direct heat stroke. But when the heat waves are there or temperature outside is very hot, even people sitting in the home without any air conditioning or cooling can also become very hot because of outside temperature being high. And especially comorbid or old people or newborns can become very hot, and that can lead to heat stroke in the elderly and comorbid people. This is called indirect or non-exertional heat stroke. They may not be doing anything. They may be just resting in the home, and still, because the temperature outside is very high, inside the home is already high, and they developed heat stroke. Now, most of the heat strokes are like this, old age people and comorbid people. And the direct heat strokes are a small part of the total heat strokes. And that is why many times we are not capturing the correct mortality and morbidity because of the heat waves, because the direct part of the heat stroke is small and indirect or non-exertional is very high.
What is the government doing to address heat waves? And can you talk about this like on a central level, state governments, also like for cities and even like panchayats?
So let me begin by what we did in Ahmedabad and then how it got replicated throughout the country. So in Ahmedabad, as I said, we developed the South Asia's first pioneering heat action plan in 2013 and implemented it. It had four parts. One was an early alert system. So prediction of how much temperature is going to reach in the next 4 or 5 days. That is the role of India Meteorology Department. So they provide now with early prediction. Second is public awareness. So once the IMD predicts heat, the city nodal officer looks at it and sees which level of heat is going to come. Is it orange alert? Is it red alert? And issues a press and media warning so that people also know that tomorrow red warning heat is going to come or temperature is going to go more than 45 degrees. So, alerting system. Second is public awareness. So, public should know that if the heat is very high, they have to take steps and to cool themselves as well as avoid heat exposure. So educating the public, so what to do, and there are very simple things that need to be done. For example, if you don't need to go out in the heat, you have to avoid going in the heat, especially when the heat wave or red alert is there. Second, if you had to go out because of work or whatever, you must take a lot of water and keep yourself cool. Don't go in the sunlight, work in the shade. If you can't do that, then if you are working in the sunlight, you must take a break after every 1 hour or 10 minutes or so. So the body becomes cool, then you start working again. So that is the third thing. So what steps people should take? Fourth is, if you feel uncomfortable, giddy, or feel nausea, vomiting, start becoming semi-conscious, then immediately you have to be rushed to a cooler place, spray water on the body and try to cool the body and call ambulance and go to the hospital or health center so that definitive treatment can be given. So these are the kinds of things which people have to do. Then the actions which governments have to take, for example, in the cities, provide places where people can wait in the shade. They don't have to stand in the sun. So keep the gardens open. Provide water on the street, free waters to drink, because water is a very life-saving thing in heat wave. Because if you take more water, one is body remains hydrated. Second is you get more perspiration, and by that body can be cooled. So providing water. Third is alerting people whenever the heat wave is going to come. Fourth is changing the work pattern. If suppose red alert is there, then ask people to work early in the morning and late in the evening, and no work of hard labor type work should be allowed from say 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. because that is the maximum heat time. So this is how you reduce the exposure. Then you have to train the doctors, hospitals, nurses, health centers, ambulance service to receive heat emergency cases and immediately treat them with proper protocols of treatment, including cooling of the body as soon as possible, correction of the dehydration, and supportive therapy. One thing to remember is that heat stroke will not be helped by taking normal fever medicine like paracetamol or aspirin or others which we normally take in fever will not work in heat stroke, because heat stroke happens because of a very different mechanism and it will not be helped. So making the health system ready is the third pillar, and fourth pillar of the heat action plan is to take long-term measures to keep the buildings cool through cool roof. So painting the roof white color so that the heat doesn't come in, it gets reflected. Making new roofs which are in more insulating. Then buildings which will keep cool through different mechanisms. Planting more trees so that they will absorb the heat and keep the temperature down. Provision of more blue spaces or water spaces like rivers to be filled with water or ponds to be filled with water so that temperature of the city remains low. So such long-term measures are also required. So this is what a heat action plan is, and this is what was planned in Ahmedabad and implemented since 2013. Following this, we showed that the mortality at peak temperatures, which is 44, 45, came down by 30 to 40% after the heat action plan was implemented. And this was taken as a good indication of effectiveness of the heat action plan. And that is why the central government, National Disaster Management Authority, took interest and replicated our plan in many cities throughout India. And now this has become a national plan, a model plan they have put on their website. And NDMA asked each city government, district government, and state government to develop their own heat action plans and implement them in the summer. Plus, they have also set up a national system of reporting heat-related illness and deaths. And that monitoring has also started. So we capture how many people developed heat stroke and how many people died because of heat stroke. So these are the actions taken at national level. They also organize seminars, meetings of the key stakeholders and discuss. They have funded research. They have funded public awareness campaigns in heat, what to do, etc. And similarly, states are also taking action through state disaster management authorities and through health departments. And similarly, districts and cities are taking action. Now, of course, the intensity or the nature of the action sometimes varies depending upon the people, their understanding, their ability to take up such activities, etc.
Okay, so what have been the problems with implementation on ground? And of course, like, you know, you can start with Ahmedabad and maybe like talk about some of the other places.
Yeah. So some of the places where heat action plan is going on well is Ahmedabad, Telangana, Orissa, and other cities in Maharashtra near Nagpur, which is called Vidarbha, which is also a very hot place. So wherever heat action plans has been working well is partly because of local health administrators, health secretary, health director, or disaster management authority heads have taken interest and tried to understand how the plan works and tried to implement there. Unfortunately, we don't have a separate environmental health officer. One of the reasons that heat action plan works or doesn't work depends on
the local level leadership in terms of administrators, say health secretary, health director, a disaster management secretary, disaster management staff, if they take interest and understand the plan and develop actions and implement them, then it works well. If they don't take interest and if they just do because central government is asking them, then many times paper plan may remain on paper and ground level activities are very few. Second is, we have to also define the activities clearly and, if required, provide budget. For example, TV, radio, media advertisements cost money. There is also training programs to be organized, meetings to be organized, stakeholders to be informed. So all of that have to have some budgets and supporting technical staff. So those states and districts and cities who have invested either their own money or some external resource money have done well. And if the heat action plan is well implemented, then the mortality, morbidity will come down. So that is where sometimes we don't have enough interest or budget or implementation willingness, and that is why sometimes plans remain on paper and not implemented. But wherever we have good officers who have taken interest, plans have been well designed, well implemented, and many innovations have also happened.
Okay, and what can the government do right now, especially like as heat waves will continue to get worse because there's a global warming issue? So what can the government do on a long-term basis to make sure that, you know, things improve?
Yeah, so in the short term, given this heat season, which is, we are just in the middle of it, they have to immediately take up at least public announcement and public awareness drives. So people know, they pay attention to the predictions and take appropriate action. This is the immediately required thing. They should also monitor all-cause mortality or total mortality in each city, each district, and correlate it with the temperature, so they will know whenever heat is there how much mortality increases. The third, as you said, long-term, the measures should be to create an environmental health division with proper trained people who have expertise in climate change and public health, and they will help manage the heat action plan. This has to be at the city level as well as at the district level. And then such plans have to be monitored, that whether the plan, because planning itself will not help unless the plan is implemented. So implementation and its monitoring will tell what has been able to do, what government is able to do, and what it is not able to do. And then improve the plan every year so that in next year we are better prepared. The other thing is, each year we should prepare starting with February or January or February in the winter season, because some actions take time to implement. And hence we should start early. For example, training of the doctors, health staff, etc. may take several weeks. Similarly, setting up cooling wards in the hospitals may take time. Public awareness also takes time. So if that has to be done, it has to be well planned throughout the year. So pre-heat season, heat season, and post-heat season. And we have written this down, what actions can be taken in the heat action plan manual. And we have also identified actions by other departments besides health. So that also has to be kept in mind and implemented. So that is how long-term resilience can be developed in the cities and rural areas against increasing heat. Because if you see the predictions, as of now, about 1.2 to 1.3 degrees temperature, centigrade temperature has risen. The prediction is it will rise in next 30-40 years to 2 to 3 degrees or 4 degrees higher. That means that we have to make our heat action plan more and more stronger in next 10 years so that when the temperature goes to 3 to 4 degrees higher, we are still able to combat its effect on human health.
Okay, and how do we protect the most vulnerable? Like, for example, you said that people should not go out to work between 11 to 4. But then say for daily wage laborers and people like that, you know, they have to like work basically whenever they're told to, and they have to do it on a daily basis. So how do we sort of protect vulnerable people like that?
So some people will have to work even in the hot sunlight and very hot season, including farmers, daily wage laborers, some rickshaw pullers, people who are on the street and street vendors, etc. So what they should do is, if possible, start early, 7 o'clock or so, and work till 11 or 12, then take rest under a tree or under some cooler place, drink a lot of water, and wait till 4 p.m. And then after 4:30 or 5, again work for 3 hours till 8 or 9 o'clock. So that will avoid the maximum exposure to heat, which is there from 12 to 4 o'clock. So that is first. Second is they have to take a lot of water. As I said earlier, if they have to work in sunlight during the peak hot season or during heat wave, they must take break every 1 hour or half an hour for 5-10 minutes so that body cools down. They can spray cold water on the body so that body doesn't become very hot. These are some of the measures which they can take. And if they feel unwell, they should immediately stop working and cool the body as well as go to the health center.
Right. But is this something that can be done on like a policy level for people like that?
Yeah. So in some states, they have mandated, the labor department has mandated that in peak heat or when the red alert is declared, no work will be allowed between 12 to 4 p.m. So that could be a government mandate or policy. Second could be wherever work is going on in summer, like Manrega or other construction work or other heavy digging work, etc., they must provide ample arrangement for drinking clean drinking water. They must provide arrangement for shade so that workers can come and rest in the shade. And they should also see that if there are a lot of people and have to work, that some emergency medical help is available nearby in terms of ambulance or in terms of health centers, etc. So that is the basic thing which should be done via policy and programs.
Okay, so anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, I think one last message to people will be that they must keep a watch on what IMD is predicting, and if it is going to be very hot, avoid exposure to heat and don't go unnecessarily in the hot sun. If you have to go, you carry your own water or drink a lot of water and then go for a brief period, come back again, rest, and then do the other work. So protection is mainly to avoid exposure to heat, and if you get exposed and are uncomfortable, you have to immediately go to the hospital to avoid permanent damage or death. That is the main thing one must remember.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting our contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.